Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is a very special fan appreciation episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. I want to let everyone know that I have created a Facebook page where you can all join and be part of this podcast community. I will post pictures of all the title cards from the episode preview, as well as Batman artwork for myself or any other person that would like to show theirs. You can join, start discussions, ask questions, or just share your thoughts. Be sure to go to Facebook and look for I'm Batman, the podcast. Become a member. Can't wait to see you all there. I want to thank you all for listening. It does keep me going, knowing that there are people who enjoy my opinions on what I consider to be the best show that has ever been done. I mean, this is the show that shaped my art style into what it is. I don't know if I would continue my love for animation and drawing and painting if it wasn't for this show. That's how much this animated series means to me. And I'm glad that a lot of you enjoy listening to the things that I have to say about it. I say it's the best show ever made. Doesn't mean it's perfect. I call it out for its flaws because when you love something, you also accept the things that are wrong with it. So I appreciate you all for listening a lot. As I said, we have this Facebook page. I urge you all to go and join, be part of the group. It'd be easier to share your thoughts this way instead of emails. And I'm still running that contest for the cereal box. You could go on Facebook. Let me know where you are from there. I'll pick the names from there. And we could still run that contest from there. I think it's a easier way to reach out to people through social media. We're starting off with Facebook. Who knows where it might lead. I'm also posting the Batcave archives on there. As I mentioned last week, the list is getting long. And I do not want to spend a minute and a half just reading you numbers and names of things that doesn't mean anything to you. So you could go on there, look at the rankings as they are, and share your thoughts, whether you think maybe an episode should be higher or lower. It's something that I can't wait to see. I just can't wait to see what others think about this, you know, because sometimes you get lost in your own thoughts. You're a super fan, you have your own way of thinking, and sometimes you're kind of blind to certain things that other people aren't, so it's always great to hear others' opinions. So, I lost my place here. So, I want to thank you all once again for the third time to show that I appreciate all of you. I am going to continue recording. It's not just a 5-minute recording telling you we're doing this on Facebook. No, I'm going to continue. And I'm going to give you an extra episode this week based on some lost animation. So this is pretty interesting, huh? This is animation that was not shown on TV and is considered by many to be a lost episode. So now, thanks to the likes of YouTube, we can all watch, we can all share in this. And I am talking about The Adventures of Batman and Robin, the video game. The Adventures of Batman and Robin was released in 1994, which is 2 years after where we are on the podcast. But don't worry, there are no spoilers for anything that happens on the show. As a matter of fact, I believe we have seen the majority of the characters from this, except for the Riddler. He is the only person on the video game that we have not yet seen on the show, but you all know who the Riddler is, so there's really no big mystery or spoiler here. The Adventures of Batman and Robin for the Sega CD was a video game developed by Clockwork Tortoise, a very short-lived company that made 2 games in its existence. They made The Adventures of Batman and Robin for the Sega Genesis and The Adventures of Batman and Robin for the Sega CD, which is the game we're going to speak about today. The game was published by Sega for the Sega CD add-on console. Now, the Sega Genesis version is a weird run-and-gun game in the style of Contra. You choose between Batman or Robin, or 2 players can play as both at the same time. Now, this game is hard, and I mean like super hard. I used to rent it. I never owned this one. I used to rent it, and I would go out of my mind with frustration. It did feature techno music instead of the moody orchestral soundtrack that we're used to from the cartoon, but the music in this game is amazing. If you can find, like I said, on YouTube or somewhere, the soundtrack for the Adventures of Batman and Robin, the Sega Genesis version, or Mega Drive as it's called outside of the United States, the soundtrack to this is awesome, like really awesome. Awesome. So it has that plus going for it. Now, there was a version for the Super Nintendo, which in my opinion is the best Batman game released for the 16-bit era based on the cartoon. It was called The Adventures of Batman and Robin, but you never played as Robin. You only played as Batman, and you followed certain episodes from the series and plot, and it's it looks amazing. It's amazingly done. The gameplay is great. That is my pick for best Batman game of the 16-bit era. That's staying away from all the Arkham series games, which are all great. I know a lot of people aren't fans of Arkham Origins, but I really like that game. But let's continue back to the 16-bit era before I get into that other one. Before I continue, let me very simply try and explain the Sega CD. Now, everyone knows what a Nintendo is, correct? I mean, I can't really see anyone or imagine anyone listening not knowing what a Nintendo is. So imagine someone made a device that you connect your Nintendo to, and now you are able to play games via CD instead of cartridges. That was the Sega CD, but for the Sega Genesis or Mega Drive instead of the Nintendo, obviously. Now, I'm not going to get into the history of the Sega CD. That's a whole podcast on its own. Let's just say it was not that big of a success. As a matter of fact, the only reason I had a Sega CD was because there was a clearance of them at an electronics store near my house where they were selling Sega CD consoles for $40, and they were selling Sega CD video games for $5 or less. Less! I got, this sounds ridiculous, but I got a Marky Mark Make Your Own Music video, well, not cartridge, but CD, for $1. I got a freaking $1 game. Adventures of Batman and Robin, I believe, was a $5 game, but still, it's ridiculous. So, the Sega CD version of Batman and Robin is a completely different game from the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo one. In this game, you play only as Batman, or more accurately, you play as the Batmobile, and in the last level, you play as the Batwing. You must fight through traffic and other vehicles trying to destroy your car. This is another mind-blowingly hard game, but I did own it, so I did manage to eventually beat it because I just dedicated myself to having beat this game. It looks kind of cool if you ever played the Batman Returns driving sequences. It looks like that, except in the style of the animated series. It's really hard though. The first two, three levels are good, and then it just gets ridiculously hard. Now, the huge, and I do mean huge, deal with the Sega CD version of the game is that it contained original animation done exclusively for the game from the makers of the show. In fact, it was done by TMS Studios. TMS Studios did some of the best animation seen on the show, like the episode Feet of Clay Part 2, which sits at number 4 in our Batcave archives of the best episodes thus far. The music is not scored by Shirley Walker, and you can tell. The music is the weakest part of this whole thing. It's pretty awful, and we never get the classic Batman theme anywhere in the game. Story is almost non-existent. As it is, it's just kind of a series of vignettes meant to very flimsily connect a reason why all these villains are teaming up to take down Batman. And for a game called Batman and Robin, you never play as Robin, although we do see him in the animation. And we haven't seen any episodes featuring Robin yet on our podcast, but I'm sure all you listeners know who Robin is. And if you don't, he's the whiny dumby in green who always gets kidnapped and put in danger. The animated sequences for this game have never been released on DVD as an extra or anywhere else as far as I know. Even if you own the game, you can't just put it in your computer and look at the animation, although you could put it in your computer and listen to the soundtrack consisting of 7 songs, which aren't good at all. But, as I said, it hasn't been released. It's not in any of the box series that I know of. It's not in any of like the movies that I know of. So this is something where basically you are only going to be able to see it on YouTube. Sadly, it's not the greatest resolution. This was made way before HD was ever a thing. And also, the Sega CD was not very good looking. It was very grainy and kind of ugly, so the fact that it went from like really bad quality to something kind of worse, it looks really buggy and grainy. I'm not a big fan of that. Now, the fact that it has not been released is what leads many fans to call this the lost episode, Honestly, this is more like a cool hidden gem that most fans don't know about. But I wouldn't really consider this a lost episode because there's really no story. And this doesn't seem to tie into the cartoon or the show at all. So I call it a lost episode just for simplicity's sake, mostly. So now that all that is out of the way, let's talk about the cartoon itself. So let's get to it. So we start off with a shot of this cool looking shot of Batman brooding in the Batcave when an alarm goes off in the Batcomputer. So Batman gets in the Batmobile and we get a look at the car's control panel. Now this scene is so awesome and it makes me geek out every single time that I see it. There are lights that turn on the control panel which state batteries, turbine, and speed, which for those of you who are familiar with the Adam West show, know exactly what that means. Heck, you just have to listen to this podcast and pay attention to the Batcave Archives theme to know why I geek out every single time. We get this awesome shot of the Batmobile leaving the cave into the city. Although it's kind of weird where it kind of looks like a roller coaster, but it's still very cool looking. This is where we play our first level. So once that is over, we get to the next scene. And I'm not going to be pointing out every time that a level is played or describe the levels, because this is a recap of the animation and not the gameplay or the game as a whole. So as I said, the story is very flimsy. And without the gameplay, it's even more so, but I'm going to stick to that decision. Now the next scene, we see Batman near a bank vault. And Batman is tying up Violet and Lily. We just talked about them. It seems like 2 years later, they're still part of the show. So that's very cool. I really, as I mentioned, like these characters a lot. So now, of course, they're Poison Ivy's henchwomen, for those who don't remember. But yeah, we talked about them last episode. And Batman asks them, "Where's your pretty boss?" So Poison Ivy sneaks up from behind Batman and shoots him in the shoulder with one of her arrows. So at this moment, I will point out that this animation is more graphic and violent than what we are used to seeing on the television show. A lot more, which is awesome. I really love how Ivy is portrayed here. She is very coquette and flirty. Like, she skips and she walks away, swaying her hips back and forth, knowing that she looks good. She's sexy and she owns it. Ivy keeps shooting arrows at Batman, and Batman hides behind some bank teller counters, and she breaks the glass, and it all looks amazing. Ivy says she has a new kind of green to add to her collection. She means money, by the way. She throws what appears to be a radish at Batman, but then the radish grows into like this enormous clay face looking monster. It looks super cool. It looks almost exactly like Clayface, but it has thorns growing out of everywhere. Foreshadowing. And a mane made of green grass. It looks really cool. The monster very brutally assaults Batman, but Batman cuts off the monster's hands using a batarang, and green blood spills everywhere from the monster. He grows his hands back, though, and I'm telling you, the animation is just super amazing in all of this. This animation is on par with the Batman Mask of the Phantasm movie. That's how good it is. Batman breaks the glass at an emergency axe, like one of those break in case of emergency. He breaks the glass, gets an axe, and goes evil dead ash on the monster. I mean, oh man, it's amazing. He and the monster fall behind some counters, and all we see is the shadows of Batman and the monster being projected on the wall. Then Batman just lets loose on this monster with the axe, and he murders it in a cripes on Friday. I didn't think Batman could get more badass way. Batman yells and grunts as the monsters just let out dying screeches, and we see the blood just cover the walls, like green splats of blood on the wall. Hell, we even get a close-up of Batman killing a monster with the axe as he gets covered in green blood. Then the scene ends with the monster dying very violently and dramatically, and Batman wiping the green blood off his face. Oh, it's so good. Poison Ivy gets in a flower delivery truck and drives away. Our next scene, we see Ivy's truck flipped over as it crashed into a flower shop, of course. We get a lot of close-ups of her butt, in about 3 seconds for some reason. And there's even a shot where Ivy is trying to crawl away. So, of course, we get this point of view of her butt. And then we see Batman's hand reach out and grab her by the underwear for some reason. And because, you know, I'm sure when Batman captures the Joker, the first thing he reaches for is the Joker's boxers. So Batman tells Ivy it's over, but Ivy exclaims that Batman's ordeal is just beginning. Bullet shows up, and he tells Batman to hand over Ivy, and that word just came in that one of Batman's enemies has kidnapped Commissioner Gordon. Ivy tells Batman that two of his closest allies have been kidnapped, Commissioner Gordon and his own partner Robin. Because of course he has. Bullet cuffs Ivy, and we get a shot of her bare butt for no reason. And I mean it. I don't mean like, oh, yeah, they're just animating her butt again. I mean, this time it's like her bare naked butt. I mentioned this in the Pretty Poison episode, but it seems that every time that Poison Ivy is a villain, the animators make a quote-unquote error where they forget to paint her legs green and instead make them flesh-colored. So this always seems to be when Ivy has her back to us. Somehow they never make this mistake when Ivy's sitting down or she's facing us. This error, quote unquote, always seems to be made when her back is facing us. So it always looks like she's wearing a thong. And this time it's a close up, so all you see is like a huge butt on your screen in a thong as they're handcuffing her. Ivy gets arrested, but before she gets taken away, she tells Batman that it's all part of the game. So Triple H is the enemy, Batman deduces. Oh, wait, no. Batman deduces this means that the Riddler is behind things. Now, I would like to mention that this game includes all of the voice actors from the series, so no one here sounds weird or out of place. Our next scene shows the Batmobile dodging bombs and crashing into a toy store. And he starts driving through the toy store. So the Batmobile runs over a giant purple Godzilla. But the joke here is that he killed Barney, the purple dinosaur. Get it? Giant purple dinosaur, like, but it was Godzilla-shaped. So, hearty har-har for dated references, which this show tries to avoid as much as it can to give it credit. Batman leaves the Batmobile, and he finds the Riddler in the middle of the store, sitting on what appears to be a throne made of toys and computer parts. Gordon is tied up in the steps, and Riddler whacks him really hard in the head with his cane, knocking out Gordon. Now, Riddler is hidden in the shadows the whole time. It looks really cool. He asks Batman a riddle. How am I like Batman? Batman doesn't answer. He just gets angry, and he beats the crap out of the dummy. But He punches the Riddler in the face. I'll call the guy a dummy. He punches the Riddler in the face, but then Batman seems to hurt his hand really bad. So the Riddler in the shadow turns out to be a robot. And he gives the answer to the riddle, which I kind of just spoiled a while ago. He says, how am I like the Batman? We're both dummies. So then the real Riddler jumps out from the top of the computer toy throne, and he beats up Batman with his cane. Riddler puts on a helmet on Batman before Batman can react, and he turns it on with a remote control. Batman seems to be transported into a virtual reality world, just like the Lawnmower Man. And no other internet-based movie that ever came out. So a floating Riddler head tells Batman that there is no escape, and then Batman falls into a vortex. So we get the level played, and what have you. So the next scene, Batman manages to take the helmet off, as Riddler is puzzled. Get it? About how this is possible. The computer toy throne seems to be the virtual reality computer, and it's not like buzzing with electricity. And Batman punches Riddler into the electricity to electrocute him and kill him once and for all. Okay, maybe not, but with the extent of violence and the animation done here, it can be very easily assumed that he died, since I don't think we ever see him moving again after that. Gordon is freed by Batman, and he tells him that Robin is being held hostage by the Joker at the old abandoned amusement park. Gordon says he's going to clean up here, so Batman should just go for Robin. And yeah, we do see Riddler move now, so I guess he wasn't dead. He's just got fried, and he's probably brain dead. Okay. Batman arrives at the park, where he is greeted by Harley Quinn selling popcorn on top of those old-timey popcorn machines. Batman demands to see the Joker, and Harley leaps from the machine, and it just explodes. I mean, holy hell, man, that thing just blew up in Batman's face, and it sent him, like, flying several feet away. Harley gets in a little red Corvette and tries to kill Batman by shooting him with cannonballs from a comically large old pirate cannon that comes out of the hood of her car. Batman dodges all of this and he gets in the Batmobile and he plays chicken with her. She panics and she swerves into a brick wall of the funhouse. She is presumed dead as we don't hear or see her again. Joker appears on the roof out of the funhouse and dude, this Joker looks so cool. Like, he looks like very evil and stuff. And I mentioned in his first appearance how Joker is a hard character to draw. It seems that every time we see the Joker in his episodes, he looks different. And it's not on purpose. It just means the animators have a very hard time animating that model. And in this one, it's no different. He looks to be about the size of Batman here, just as muscular. Like, he looks huge. But his face is like very detailed and very animated and looks very cool. Joker brings out some bumper cars with stuffed animals in them. And Joker tells Batman that if he survives the bumper cars, then Bird Boy is his. So the bumper cars start crashing into each other and explode. So Batman realizes these are bombs. The next scene is one of the bumper cars crashing into the funhouse, blowing it up. And presumably also blowing up Harley Quinn, since we can assume she was still unconscious from her crash, even if she did survive that. Joker is sent flying through the air and he lands on a cart of giant stuffed animals. And now we see Robin, who Joker dressed up like Big Bird and he tied him up for some reason, which is hilarious. He gets rescued by Batman. Joker gets up and he grabs a giant mallet. He whacks Batman in the back like really hard and Batman even grabs his shoulder like, holy crap, that hurt. And he proceeds to have a fist fight with Batman, which is pretty cool. Joker throws dirt in Batman's eyes and he punches him. But Batman just gets angry and beats the crap out of Joker. He punches him with an uppercut, which sends him flying through the air. And Joker lands on one of those tests of strength bells that you see at the carnival. The ones where you hit the bell at the bottom and it rises up and it hits the bell at the top. And it's like, bing, and it'll say, like, stud or what have you. So, of course, Joker lands on that. The little bell goes all the way to the top, and that's our joke there. Joker tells Batman that the person who orchestrated all of this is someone who has been a thorn on Batman's side for many years. Batman and Robin kind of just leave the Joker there, and then they leave on the Batwing to go search for a yacht in the middle of the ocean. As I said, the story is very weak in this. Robin, being ever so smart, figures that the Joker meant Rupert Thorne when he said that a thorn on your side remark to Batman a couple of minutes earlier. And Batman kind of just rolls his eyes and ignores it, because it seems that Batman has the same type of patience for Robin that we do. Several missiles appear in the air, and they try to shoot down the Batwing, but Batman guides the plane so that the missiles run into each other and explode. Rupert Thorne punches the monitor on his boat, and he has several pieces of glass stuck in his hand, and this doesn't seem to cause him to bleed or doesn't seem to bother him at all, or, like, cause him pain or anything. That's very uncharacteristic of him. So all of the henchmen on Thorne's yacht get into battle positions as they shoot cannons and machine guns at the Batwing. We get a very cool Batman dodging enemy fire scene. And Batman flies the plane directly at them and distracts them all. The plane just keeps on flying and the henchmen think they chased it away. But it seems Batman was smart here, as him and Robin left the plane in hang gliders. They crash through the windows into the main control station, I guess. And Batman is about to be shot. But the goon gets taken out by Robin, who glides through the window and knocks out the guy that was going to shoot Batman. Now Robin is about to be shot, but Batman shoots the dude. Okay, you all know Batman's grappling hook. He uses it for everything. He uses it to swing from place to place. He saves himself with it. Well, He shoots the grappling hook right at this dude's face. And oh man, the clanking sound and the look. That looked painful. If that guy's not dead, he is a vegetable for the rest of his life. Thorne says that this is really weird because Thorne looks right at the camera and he says, Thorne has no part in this. Thorne has been away for a few weeks. So as Robin tries to figure out what this means, he is attacked by a giant hammer, like a hammer the size of Batman. We pan out to see that Thorne's arm is the giant hammer. And Thorne morphs into Clayface. Oh, man. So that one monster that Poison Ivy threw that looked exactly like Clayface with thorns growing out of him. I really like that. That was so cool. So Clayface exclaims that with Thorne out of town, it was easy for him to take his place and run Gotham. But he needed to hire the other villains to destroy Batman. Like I said, the story isn't very strong here. Clayface smacks Batman hard into a wall. I mean, so hard that Batman's body and head left an imprint on the wall. And I don't mean just like his shape. He hit him so hard. Batman's pointy ears, which are mostly made of like plastic or something, got hit so hard that his pointy ears left an imprint on the wall. And as I said, the animation throughout all this is on point. It is amazing. So when Batman gets hit hard, you feel it. You see the dust coming out of the walls and it's settled. You see the imprint with little bits of it cracking. Oh, it looks so good. Robin uses his speed to dodge Clayface, but Batman uses a spray from his belt to freeze Clayface. Clayface falls down and breaks the ice, and he turns into a puddle, and he escapes through the plumbing. Now, Clayface gets out through a pipe in a really creepy-looking way, causing two henchmen to jump off the boat in horror. So it's raining outside now with like lightning and everything. We get this very dramatic Clayface posing as lightning strikes shot. It looks really good. Clayface uses one of those giant anti-aircraft machine guns to shoot at Batman and Robin, who start running away. And, you know, okay, I love Batman, but this is ridiculous. Batman hides behind one of the anti-aircraft cannons as Clayface shoots at him. Yet Clayface can't hit him. I'm serious. Batman, all he's doing is ducking behind the cannon, and then he turns the cannon sideways, and Clayface just seems to be shooting at the cannon's barrel. He even shoots off the little targeting lens, but not Batman. This is like if a maniac started shooting at you, and you hide by sitting on a barber's chair and ducking your head. It's kind of how silly it looks. Batman uses the cannon to shoot a hole through Clayface, and Clayface stumbles a bit and screams in pain. But then he turns into a giant donut. I mean, really, he turns into a donut. And he rolls away into a helicopter as Batman and Robin give chase. Clayface escapes in the helicopter. But Batman calls the Batwing via remote control. Batman and Robin get in the Batwing and chase after Clayface. So now we get to what is going to be the final scene of the story. This is the ending for the game. So for those of you who still want to somehow play the 1994 The Adventures of Batman and Robin on Sega CD, maybe thank you for listening and listen to us next week. This is going to be a spoiler for the ending, which I kind of already spoiled, but whatever. Clayface's chopper is in flames as it crashes toward a bridge. Now the helicopter hits the side of the bridge and just bursts into flames. Now we see a burning Clayface screaming in pain, falling through the air, and he lands in the water below. He lets out a blood-curdling scream, and he disintegrates and dies. And this time I'm not joking, like Clayface just died in a very gruesome fashion. Like I tell you, the animation for this is really great, but it's a lot more violent and graphic than we're used to, and I'm fine with that. You know, it looks really good. The Batwing hovers above the water as Batman just looks at Robin and shrugs, and then they just leave. The end.
I'm Batman!
Holy crap, man, what was that? What's up with that ending? I mean, the animation's great, everything else is amazing, but the Batman's kind of like, eh, he's dead. Let's go. And that's it. But whatever, as I said, I think the animation of this is amazing, and it just needs to be seen. But the story, the music, eh, you could do away with all that. You could just sit there, watch this. It's about 15, 16 minutes long. It's not even that long. And you'll really appreciate the work that was put into this. Now, I will post a link to the quote-unquote lost episode on our Facebook page so that you can all see this for yourselves. Everyone, thank you for listening. And once again, I appreciate all of your support. I am going to drive this point to the ground, but be sure to look for I'm Batman the Podcast on Facebook and join our group. I will have the footage for this episode so you can watch it all for yourself. Please join. I would really like for this community to grow. So everybody, remember that no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are Batman.